Welcome to Awake to Oneness Radio. I am Caroline Chang, your host. The mission of Awake to Oneness Radio is to inspire the world to awaken to the universal truth of oneness. Science is now teaching us that everything is energy, and that energy is interconnected and interdependent. In essence, that energy is one thing. I call that energy love. So everything is connected by this energy I call love. And now ancient wisdom and spirituality has been teaching the truth of oneness for eons, and science is catching up. But this isn't even new science. The science of quantum physics that speaks about the unified field theory and quantum entanglement, this science has been around for over 100 years. And we really, at this point, humanity should know that we are not separated. We are all connected. We are literally all one. And when mankind awakens to the universal truth of oneness, there will be peace on earth. Today's show topic is uplifting yourself in challenging times with Monica Campbell. Monica, welcome to Awake to Oneness Radio.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm so excited.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. I had Joe on, Jay. I have a neighbor named Joe. I had Jay, your husband, Jay Campbell, on this show a few weeks ago. And I love his energy. I love what he's doing with his podcast. And so I am so honored to have you, his partner, here with us. Thank you so much. Please share with our listeners your journey of awakening and spiritual growth.
Wow. So I don't know where you want me to begin, but
wherever you want to begin.
So I, as a young child, I always questioned my existence, wondering, why I was here, why I was put into this body. And I used to look at other people and think, why couldn't I be as pretty as her? Why couldn't I? And I would even doubt being a girl for that matter, because my mom used to cut my hair really short. And, I used to think, was I supposed to be a boy? Because people would look at me and go, what would you like, little boy? So there was a lot of questioning about who I was and my existence, and if people were for me or against me. I felt like most people were against me. I didn't feel like I could trust anyone. I didn't trust myself. So I grew up in a very insecure, just doubting way, and as I grew and I experienced life and the challenges, I began to question how I could be better and how I could show up as a better person, a better human being, and that's where I am today. And it's interesting because I don't ever like to be like, oh, I'm a, because I started out in real estate. I was an appraiser. I'm a real estate agent. I've done these things, and I feel like what you do for a living really isn't who you are, because who you are is who you are. And it's just a means of creating income in this world. But you always bring you into that. And so that's why it's like, when I think of me, I don't think of myself of, oh, I'm a real estate agent, or, oh, I'm an author, or whatever it is. It's, I'm now, as I just turned 50, I think of myself as an evolving sage goddess.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I love, because I came up with the term of who I am. I kind of awakened to who I am, like you say, as who I truly am, back in 2007. But this year, especially the last 2 months, 2 years that we've been going through since March of 2020, I have now come up with, and I have it on a t-shirt, and I've had, and if you want a t-shirt, let me know. I'll get you a t-shirt that says, I am a sovereign, divine being of light.
Amen.
That's the only identification I go by. Yes. Awesome. Yes. So, yes.
Shall I call you light?
you can call it Caroline, because I told you how I got my name, and I like my name. So you can call it Caroline.
Caroline.
But, Also, I connected with you. I always find this with all of my guests. I've done like close to 300 shows now. And right. all my guests, there's something they say from their childhood that I identify with. Now, my mom didn't cut my hair short because I always liked my hair long. But I was a tomboy growing up. And I wished I was a boy because I grew up, see, I'm 10, I'll be 60 next month. You just turned 50. I'll be 60 next month.
Sensationally 60.
Yes. Growing up in the mid 60s, I saw boys were literally in my surroundings, boys were treated much better than girls. And I had a brother, older brother, 18 months older than I, and he was treated like a king and I was treated like a step stool. So I saw that, I witnessed that as a child. So I was like, I wish I was a boy. And then I became a tomboy. I didn't like dolls. I didn't like dresses. I would go out and play baseball. I would climb trees. I would do everything. I would want to look like a boy because I wanted to be a boy. So yes, but you're absolutely right. Our identity is not the job that we work. It's not even our name. It's not the skin or the space. I call this a spacesuit because we change spacesuits all the time, like a car. You know, it's not the skin that we're in. It's not the body we're in. It is who we truly are as light beings.
Right. Yes. Yep. Amen to that one. Yeah. And it's interesting what allows us to identify that throughout our life, because so many times, you know, we'll have issues arise or things happen in our life and we can allow that to defeat us and to say, you know, I'm less than because of this, or we can look at ourselves and say, how can I be more because of this? Right. And that's when you can expand your light and that's when you can shine even brighter. And when we do that, it's so uplifting for ourselves and for those around us that it's almost like we could say thank you to that challenge, thank you to that issue, because that's what opened our eyes to see the light more and to be more of the light. And I think so many of us, we resist a challenge, or, you know, we want life to flow perfectly. Like I remember my mom when she was alive, she would say, I just don't want any of you guys to struggle. No, I want all you guys to be happy. And I'm like, Mom, it's okay. Like, in order for us to really grow and evolve as human beings, it's important for us to have challenges. It's important for us to maneuver through it and to see how we're going to be because of it. And that's where I think so many of us, you know, we're scared to deal with that challenge. And it's okay. You know, it's okay to have that challenge and grow because of it.
You're exactly right. And I say that with a smile on my face, because I do give talks at spiritual centers every now and then. And in my talks, I always bring up the truth that our challenges are our greatest blessings.
Exactly.
Because we have created those challenges in spirit before we came into this body. We created those challenges to grow, exactly like you said, not just to grow, but to also help us remember who we are. Remember, we are not just this body. Remember, we're so much more. And by going through the challenges, helps us to remember. So my greatest challenge was, my son is in spirit. He transitioned 7 years ago. He's not gone. He's very much with me. He's here right now. He has told me from spirit, he is the co-host of the show.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
And I have his voice from spirit on tape and images of him from spirit. He has given me physical evidence to share with the world. He's not gone. I'll send you that. I'm not sure. I meant to send that.
I have chills when you started speaking about him. I know he's with you.
Yes. Now I'm going to send you that. It's on YouTube, a video with all that evidence. My son is still very much with me. And I know that every soul comes into this life in perfect divine timing. And every soul leaves this life in perfect divine timing. It doesn't matter. It's not about age. It's about that soul's plan, that soul's journey, that soul's unique plan. Like I said, we plan our challenges, we plan when we're going to come, we plan when we're going to go. All of it is a divine plan, and it's not a straight line.
Right.
It looks like a spider web. So free will, because that's, people have trouble with that. So how can we have destiny and free will at the same time? We do. Mm-hmm. We make our soul plan before we come down here. But in every now moment, we have a choice to go left or right in every now moment. And it doesn't distract from the reason why we're here, no matter which direction we go. We're still going to end up with that destiny that we came here for.
Right. Yes. And what a beautiful opportunity we have as, you know, human bodies in this physical vessel. You know, we have the opportunity to experience this life. Yes. And to interact with one another in a way where we're going to grow as a soul. Yes. And that's a beautiful experience. It's so much fun to be in this body and to be able to experience things from this body outward. Yes. And we wouldn't have that if we were just a spirit. Yes. And part of that is the challenges, the happiness, the sadness, the love, the fear. It's all part of the human experience.
Yes, it is. And that's what we came for. We came here for exactly that. We wanted the human experience. We couldn't have it in spirit. I mean, we could have just stayed light and, you know, and all of that, but we wanted the experience. And here's the thing, it's God. God, each of us is God wanting to have the experience. And God is experiencing everything there is to experience through us.
Right. And it's beautiful. Yes. It's a beautiful thing that we get to do that. And when we recognize that, wow, what a gift.
Yes.
What a gift.
Yes.
It truly is. And it's so, I know, being how I was when I was younger and feeling like I was worthless and feeling like I didn't have a place, to where I am today, I'm just in so much joy to know that I like and love being who I am. And it's a great thing to be me.
It is. I identify with what you're saying 1,000%, because I felt the same way when I was younger. I was like, you know, I always felt like I didn't fit in. I always felt like I didn't belong. And I always used to think when I was a child, what's wrong with me?
Right.
Then I got to the point, there's nothing wrong with me. I am perfect just being me. Now I want you to share with our listeners how you got from feeling like I'm nobody to feeling like you're feeling now. So share your journey with us. How did we get from point A to point B?
Well, Caroline, let me tell you. I was the third of four children. My parents had four of us within 3 years. And then my dad left 3 weeks when my younger brother was born. He bailed. He's an alcoholic. And so my mom raised the four of us on her own. Mm-hmm. She was born in Mexico. So probably I would say her educational level was maybe third grade. She didn't really read very well, didn't write very well. So she felt like she was forced to go on welfare, and you know, she stayed home with us as long as she could so that my brother could go to kindergarten. And every now and then my dad would come back, because my mom came from the whole belief system of, when you get married, you're married for life.
Yes.
So if my dad wanted back in the home, regardless of whether or not he was a drunk or violent or whatever it was, she would allow him back in.
Right.
So we grew up with this, you know, not knowing, you know, what's going on with our dad, with, if he was around, they were fighting. If he was around, was he drunk or was he sober? Right. And if he was drunk, we didn't want to be around him.
Right.
And then my sister was like the blonde child in a Mexican family. Cause you know, in a Mexican family, at least in my mom's Mexican family, like this blonde girl was like, wow, she should be a model. Wow. Look at her. So she had like this long, beautiful hair and she was tall. And then there was me. Short hair, brown hair, awkward, like just, it was the funniest thing. And then my sister and my little brother were both sick a lot. So my mom put a lot of attention into them.
Right.
And so I think, you know, there was a lot of things of me like feeling like, okay, well, I'm not important because I'm healthy, you know, and they need the attention. And then it was also too, seeing my mom go through the emotional trauma. And I'm sure there was gestational trauma as well, because her realizing who my father was as she was having these babies.
Right.
Because, you know, she has my sister, you know, she finds drugs on my dad. She finds out he drinks a lot. She finds out all these things. And then, you know, so all of those things happening and then, you know, him cheating on her or him coming home, like these continuous things. And then me going, I remember going into high school. And I didn't start my period till I was a sophomore in high school.
Okay.
And so all these girls are starting their period and they're like, yeah, oh my God, you know, and I'm going like, please don't ask me if I started my period. I think there's something. Then my mom's like, there must be something wrong with you because you haven't started. So it was like always this message of something is wrong with you.
Okay. Well, I got to jump in here because I got to tell you. I was an early bloomer as far as my period, but here's the thing. I did not know what a period was when I got it. I thought I was dying. I got it in the middle of the night. Thankfully, it was in the middle of the night and not in school or something. Yeah, thankfully. I'll never forget getting up thinking I was dying. I mean, there was blood. I literally had never heard of a period. And this is how my mom handled it. Okay, this is I guess this is the early 70s. This is how my mom handled it. All she said is she went to the corner store, got a box of pads. And back then those were those bulky, thick pads.
Yeah, it's diapers.
Yeah, like diapers. Yeah. She gets a box of pads, gives it to me and says, you're going to have to use this once a month. That was it. That was the extent of my period conversation. Right. Seriously.
No, yeah, that's how it would. I remember a girl asking me, because even when my sister started, my mom wouldn't tell her anything. My mom felt like she couldn't talk about any of that stuff. So she wouldn't say anything. So my sister thought something was wrong with her too. And then I remember before she had started, like a bunch of kids, we were all talking and they're like, I know what a period is. And I was like, yeah, it's a punctuation at the end of a sentence. And they were like, you don't know what it is. I'm like, you're wrong. And like, we're arguing about it because I'm like, it's a punctuation.
Oh, it's so crazy. It is so crazy. But honestly, everything I learned about period and sex, I learned from my peers.
Exactly.
Nothing from my mother.
Okay. Yeah. No, my mom found my birth control pills when I was 18. And she's like, Monica, what are you doing? And I'm like, Mom, what do you think I'm doing? You know what I think you're doing. Mom, say the word. No, you know what I think you're doing. I said, Mom, it's called sex. Say the word. Sex. She just looked at me like, you.
I could have never, well, I never did use birth control, but I could never even have that conversation with my mother ever. Not even as an adult.
Isn't it interesting? Then how were you with your kids? Because I attended
different.
And then did they receive it or did they resist it?
No, they received it. I as a mother, because I have a daughter and a son, 4 years apart, I got married at 17. I married my first boyfriend right out of high school. I know why I got married. Not that I was so much in love. I got married as an escape. Right. I wanted to escape home, and getting married was a way to escape home. And so I had my children, had my daughter when I was 19. I had my son when I was 23. And shortly after, 2 years after my son was born, my husband and I divorced. They're separated because my husband, who was Chinese Jamaican, that's where I get the name Chang from.
I was wondering.
Yes. My husband, who was Chinese Jamaican, and I kept the name because I had two children. I didn't want my name to be different than my children. But after my husband and I, he married me at 17. So he married a girl and he wanted me to stay a girl. But eventually that girl grew up. Okay. Right. And when I grew up, we grew apart, which was fine. But no, I was told everything I felt that my parents did wrong, I tried to do right with my, I raised my two, like I was similar to your mom. I had two instead of four, raising two little ones on my own. But I tried to nurture a really closeness between them because me and my brother were never close. So I really encouraged my two children to be close. And As soon as my daughter was like 9, I think I set her down. Here's the fun. Oh, you just reminded me. This is funny. I set my daughter down at 9 years old. You know, her brother is, I guess he's 5. Yeah, because they're 4 years. So she's 9, he's 5. Okay. But I take her to the side in her room, sit her down, give her the talk about, you know, period and where babies come from and all that. And then, you know what she does after I have given her the talk? She takes her little brother, her 5-year-old brother, takes him and she gives him the talk I just gave her.
Probably confuses the crap out of him.
She's like, okay. I was like, oh, I got to tell you what mommy just taught me. You know, I'm like, oh my God.
But they were a big sister.
Yeah. They were very, very close. And they are very, very close. Even though my son is in spirit and she's still here in the physical, they are very, very close. Always have been and always will be. And yes, she was like the big sister explaining to him about period and sex at 5. He was only 5 years old, but it was like, so it was total, me raising my kids were totally opposite than my parents raising me. And I do not fault them. They're both in spirit. I have nothing but love. They did the best they knew.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Exactly. And that's what I realized too. There's so many lessons in this life. Like even with my children, I wanted them to know how loved they were and how special they were. And I'll tell you a funny story with my oldest son. I used to tell him because he had a freckle on his finger. Uh-huh. And when he was little, I'm like, wow, Evan, I've never seen another person with a freckle on their finger. You're so special.
Yeah.
Wow. And so I was attempting to help him understand, like, and in a funny way, like, I did it in a way where I could have just said, you're special because you're special, you know?
Right.
But I just noted that freckle because he always wanted evidence, you know, like, right. You know, show me or whatever. And then I remember this one day, you know, he came home and he's like, Mom, I just saw someone else with a freckle on their finger. I'm not that special. And I'm like, oh, well, you are special to me.
Yes, you're still special, regardless if someone else has that same freckle.
He would still laugh about it to this day.
Yeah.
They call me extra because I do everything extra. And it's that comes from me not feeling like I was enough. And I want them to understand that they are enough, that they are worthy, that they are loved. And luckily I succeeded with my oldest and my youngest. My middle, unfortunately, through the divorce, there was parental alienation and he didn't speak to me for 6 years. Mm. So he wanted nothing to do with me. And my ex programmed him the way he felt was necessary. And that is to not have self-worth, to be insecure, and basically to be who I was when I was growing up, which is less than. So my middle one is the one who's attempting to maneuver through that and to build up his self-confidence. Mm-hmm. And now that we've been speaking now for about almost 3 years, I think now, which is awesome because, you know, and it's interesting because I can really see the difference between him and my older son, mm-hmm. where you realize the importance of a parent in a child's life, especially in their formative years, because he didn't have the love of his mother, even though I was doing it energetically and I was sending him love energetically, he didn't have him in his life.
Right.
And then he was programmed in a way that was not uplifting for him. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to look and see the dynamics of every single one of us and how we view life from our lens.
Yes.
And then that also shows how we show up in the world.
Exactly.
You know, and that's crazy. And we're all so different, you know, like even, mm-hmm. you know, my daughter gave me the biggest gift when, you know, one birthday, she said, Mom, you gave me the best gift you could have ever given me. And that's for me to actually love who I am. And she was like, thank you. And I just like brought tears to my, I mean, think about it. I was crying. I was like, that's what I've always wanted. I wanted her to understand that being her was enough. Yes. And even in high school, when she, I remember we would lay in bed and we would talk and she would say, Mom, why do people want you to grow up so fast? She's mm-hmm. like, I don't want to grow up. I want to be a kid. I said, babe, be a kid. You don't have to be like anybody. You can be you. She's like, people want you to use drugs or they want you to drink. And I just want to be a kid. She would go to school in like sweats and a t-shirt, you know, and put her hair up in a bun like this. And she'd just be like, if you don't like me, it's okay. You don't have to like me. Don't look at me. And that,
you know, great. That's great that you gave her that self-confidence. Cause I know, like I said, especially middle school and high school, I went through that awkward stage saying, feeling like I wasn't good and feeling like, oh, everybody else was so much better than me. And you went through that, but you gave her that confidence to be who she is, which is great.
Right. And that's because I would allow her to express like insecurities or feelings and then ask her how she feels about it. What does she feel like she can do? How can she show up? What would she want to do? Right. And I realized that so much of my childhood was my mom telling me who I needed to be. Right. When my dad came back in our life in high school, it's like all these rules and restrictions about what you couldn't do because, you know, this is what, now that he's in our life, this is how it has to be. Right. And I realized like so much of how we evolve is us recognizing ourselves, what's true for us. And it's not somebody throwing it in your face and being like, this is what you have to do. You have to do this. You have to do this. You have to do this. It's us awakening to, wait a second, this isn't right for me, or this works for me. And when you have that realization, that's when it anchors in you. It doesn't anchor in you when you have somebody telling you all the time, oh, you got to meditate every day because you have to. If you don't meditate every day, then you're never going to get connected. It's like you have to have that inside of you where you're like, you know what? I want to connect to God and I want to connect to source and I'm going to meditate because this is what's good for me.
Right.
Exactly. That's when you truly allow yourself to be who you know you are, as opposed to like feeling like you're pushed into it all the time.
Yes. And also with that, because a lot of people say to me, I can't meditate. I can't quiet my mind, which is okay. And I say, that's fine because it's basically what I call meditation is doing what you love. So if you love running in the park and running in nature and you're in a meditative state, if you love dancing, if you love painting, if you love playing music, whatever, anytime you're doing what you love to do, you're truly you're connecting with your higher self. So if you don't have to sit there, and for me, I love to sit and meditate, especially in nature when I'm out by the lake and all I do is focus on my breath. And I know it's okay if my mind starts to wander, then I don't beat myself up. I'm like, oh, wait a second, let me go back to focusing on my breath. I don't say, bad you weren't meditating, you started to think about something. No, never beat up on yourself. If you're meditating and your mind starts to wander, just gently say, oh, wait a second, let me go back to focusing on my breath. And it's all about doing what you love, because that's what we came here to do. We came here to do what we love. And so sometimes just a sitting meditation just doesn't resonate with everybody, which is okay. You know, do what you love to do. And that is a meditation in itself.
Right. And what happens too is in our society, we're so addicted to distractions. And think about it, like we'll drive and we turn on the music because we don't want to listen to our thoughts. Mm. We have to talk to somebody while we're doing something. There's always a distraction. I moved, Jay and I recently moved, and I moved an hour away from my marketplace, and that's with no traffic in California. And you know, with traffic, it could be anywhere from an hour and a half to 2 hours. And there's times I'll do the whole drive with no music on.
Right.
I'll have the windows down and I'm listening and enjoying that moment of actually driving by myself and being by myself and listening to my thoughts and just like, wow, this is so cool. Yes. It's so cool that I can drive my car and I can get to where I need to get to. I don't have to walk. I have my hands. Like I go through this like mental, you know, process of just being in gratitude or even listening. Or sometimes, you know, I'll talk to my mom who's passed on, you know, and ask her for guidance or ask her for something, you know, because, you know, when we, like you say, your son's still with you and our loved ones are still with us. And so many times I'll just be like, mom, you know, It'd be really cool if you could just give me a sign. Yes. And every time she gives me a sign. And when my mom passed away, we were not on good terms. She was we actually hadn't spoken or seen each other for a year, and we had always been really close. And I remember when I saw her right before she went back into surgery, that was the first time I had seen her in a year, and she was angry at me. She was angry. She didn't really even want me there. I could tell. I knew. And I just held her and I said, "Mom, I love you. I'm sorry." It was like, even thinking about it, I want to cry. Cause like, yes, I never thought that my mom would die in that way where we would be upset with one another.
Right.
And so like, there's that part of me that had wanted to feel, oh, I have to be guilty, or I have to feel like shameful or whatever it was. And I realize that it doesn't have to be that way.
Not at all.
Not at all. And you know, I was meditating one day and I asked to feel her. And Caroline, I kid you not, well, she came to me a few times. One of them, when she was in the hospital, because she was actually, she had surgery. She didn't need to have surgery. The doctor told her she had to have a tumor removed. Mm-hmm. And my mom was like, "No, no, no, I need to take it out. I need it out of me." Well, they didn't sew her up correctly, and she didn't realize that she wasn't sewn up correctly. So, you know, as she started eating and started living life, whatever, all of these toxins, poisons entered her system. And then by the time she realized what was wrong, she had sepsis, and she ultimately went into a coma and died. But when she was in the hospital in a coma, I remember like sensing like a cord attached to her spirit and her wanting to be let go from it, but she was connected to all the machines. So there was no way she could.
Right.
And during that time, my whole family wasn't speaking to me. Mm. And so my sister was angry at me. My father just had started talking to me because all that had happened. And so there was all of this like just drama going on. And I was very like isolated, you know, nobody really wanted me around, but they would allow me to sit with my mom for like certain periods. And so when I was there and, you know, and I was talking to her spirit and I was, you know, sensing these things and I knew she wanted to be let go.
Right.
But my sister wouldn't allow it. But when she passed, so like before she actually passed, she came to me in a dream and I saw my one brother. It was this dream about me and my one brother and we both were like crying. And when we looked at each other and we both said, "I'm really sorry. I'm so sorry." And that dream happened when she died. Mm-hmm. We're at the mortuary and that happened. And I was like,
"Yes,
oh my God." Cause I had told my other brother about it. I'm like, "Mark, I had this dream about Jerry and I," and I was so taken back when it had happened. I was like, "Whoa." And then the next time when I meditated it's like, we as human beings feel like we have to torture ourselves, exactly. Whatever, when things don't happen as they're supposed to happen, you know, like, you know,
and my exactly.
Mom, yeah.
Exactly.
So now I have to torture myself and be miserable the rest of my life because my mother died upset at me. And that's not, you know,
true at all.
No, it's not true at all. And then when I asked her to come to me in that meditation, I kid you not, Caroline, I had this whole, it was like a blanket falling on top of me of pure love. And it was so like such a feeling of warmth. And I cried these tears of joy. It wasn't like I was sad. It was like these tears of joy. Like, wow, this is what love feels like when we allow ourselves to actually feel it. And she taught me so much through her death of like what is possible and how death is an invitation for us to be more and to explore more and to share love in a way we never thought was possible. And so now I thank her for showing me and giving me these lessons because, you know, it's interesting, you know, like I still have family members on my mom's side who cannot be around me. They blame me for my mom's death. And so I see them and I know that they're still living in their physical, egotistical existence of shame on you. You are a demon or whatever they want to call me because, you know, that I basically killed my mom.
Right. I understand what you're saying. Yes.
Yeah. And so I've got to just, when I see them, I remember this is about love. They're in fear right now. Allow them to be who they're going to be. I don't have to force myself on them, and I'm not going to force myself on them. They've got to deal with what they've got to deal with. And so
right.
I don't push myself on them. It's not important for them to accept me. They don't need to.
Exactly. Well, what you're talking about is what this show, my show, is all about. It's unconditional love. It's unconditional forgiveness. I had just days after my son passed, my son's funeral, my cousin said something horrible to me. And I just, you know what I actually did? This is a great therapeutic or something people can try if it resonates with them. I actually wrote one day, I had a, took out a big pad and I wrote down the names of everybody I felt hurt me. And I say I felt, because in truth, we're all one. So it's just us hurting us. There's no separation. And we wrote the script. We actually, there's a great book that I would love for everybody to look up. It is a children's book. The title of the book is The Little Soul in the Sun by Neil Donald Walsh. Yeah. And it explains that when we're, before we're born, we asked our soul family to be mean to us, to say these horrible things, to do, we asked them to. We wrote the script for them. So what I did, here's something great people can do if they want to. Take out a piece of paper, write down the names of everybody in your life that you think hurt you. Now, what I did, and then you write a thank you note to them. And the thank you note to, for me was just, thank you for being who I asked you to be, even if they did something horrible. So, and I actually sent those thank you notes to some, not everyone on the list, but to some. I actually, my cousin who said something horrible to me right after my son transitioned, I saw her at her dad's funeral, and I actually handed her a thank you note. And the thank you note just said, thank you for being you. And I didn't put, because if you say, thank you for being who I asked you to be, like scratching their head, what do you mean? So I just said, thank you for being you. So you have to word it where it doesn't, you know.
Yeah.
I just said, thank you for being you. And still, to this day, we have not. I handed her the thank you card at her father's funeral. She still has not said a word to me. I still email, because I'll send family group emails and she's included. She'll never respond. But what you have to do with your family, because no one ever is to blame. There is no such thing as accidents. Even if it's a drunk driver that hits your kid, that wasn't an accident. That was planned in spirit between that driver's soul and your child's soul. It wasn't an accident. And that's where unconditional love and unconditional forgiveness comes from, knowing, and you're doing yourself that favor, your soul, that you're giving your soul a gift when you release any animosity, any anger, any hate towards anyone in life. When you let them go, you just automatically forgive them, send them love and light. You don't have to physically send them the card, or you don't have to physically email them. Just send them from wherever you are at, wherever they are at, send them love and light, surround them with love and light, and say, I forgive you, and let it go. You are giving yourself a blessing and blessing that other person, and in turn, blessing the world.
Right. And you're also the burden off of your shoulders.
Exactly.
So many of us don't realize how much is in our energy body from things, you know, situations we're not willing to let go of. Like I meet people, even in real estate, like I'll meet people and they'll be like even recently I had a transaction where there was five siblings and the mother had recently passed away, and they all held resentment against one another for, when she moved in with me, she didn't clean up after herself and I was tired of it. So now I don't trust her. And it's like, wait a second. Like that's all things you've been holding on to this for how long?
Yeah.
And this is in your energy body.
Yes.
And then they were wondering why they got sick or this was happening. And it's interesting when you, I've learned so much how to observe rather than absorb what people are doing, because, you know, we can even, the great thing about doing real estate, you learn how to deal with rejection and not to take it personally.
Personally, right.
Because it's not always about me and why they're rejected. Sometimes it's what's going on in their own life.
Exactly.
And when you sit with somebody and you ask them the questions and you explore what's going on from a loving place, and you understand that, wait, this, they're having their own challenges and they're attempting to maneuver through this. How can I show up in the most productive way possible for them so that I can be a contribution to them rather than, you know, somebody who's here, like, just, this is all about me. It's all about me type of thing.
Right.
And so it's cool to recognize those things and see how so many of us will attach to the story of the pain rather than the story of the healing.
Exactly.
When we still have, we have the choice.
Yes.
We have the choice.
And every, that's the free will I was talking about. And every now moment, we can choose to hold on to pain and hurt, or we can choose to let it go in love and forgive.
Right.
That's what, and understanding from the higher level, there is no separation from you and that person. So yes, and in every now moment, I always talk about the now moment. And I thought about that when you were explaining your drive, your long drive by yourself with no music, or and you communicate with your mom, and you're being present is what you're doing in that now moment. And do you realize, now one of my other favorite books is The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. And do we as human beings do not realize how much of the time we're in the past, our mind is in the past or in the future. You know, we're regretting something in the past, or we're hoping for something, or worrying about something that has not happened.
Right.
When our mind is in the past, our future, we are not living. We are not, when you're not present, you're not living. And when you take, the more you're present in the now moment, appreciating, being thankful, like you were saying, in that now moment, being thankful in that now moment for the littlest thing, for, you know, just anything, for the fresh air, for water, just the littlest, tiniest thing, when you're thankful in that now moment, and then responding with love and kindness in every now moment.
It's so beautiful when you could do that. And then I don't know about you, Caroline, but there's times, I mean, we're human, right? So we're going to have down moments, and we're going to have moments where we feel like, well, what's going on? And even like, it's funny because like last night I stayed up late and I watched a movie with Jay, because I never watch TV. He was like, what's going on? You're watching a TV show with me. And so I stayed up till like midnight, and I'm usually in bed by 9:30. And this morning I woke up feeling just tired, like dragging, like I was dragging, and I'm taking this class in mediumship.
Awesome.
And I did that class, and then I went outside and I literally went there for maybe 3 minutes, and I just focused on my breath. I allow the sun to hit me, and I just observed the nature around me too, and I took a shower, and I'm here on this call, and I feel so good. And perhaps it's our energy flow.
Yes.
I feel so much better. And this morning we were at the gym and I was dragging. I'm like, wow.
Yeah, and I have those days. I got to drag myself. But I have a home gym and I have a Planet Fitness membership. And sometimes I'm up early. Like yesterday morning, I was up at 6:30, getting the gym down. Like in the morning, I do like to do my home gym. In the evenings, I like to go to Planet Fitness. But I got up this yesterday morning. I got up and I was like, oh, 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 yeah. And then this morning, I'm like, definitely. It's definitely. So that's why I always say it's in every now moment. So we have the beautiful choice, free will choice, in every now moment. If what we quote unquote said we messed up a moment ago, forget that moment. Right. You have the now moment to be, because the now is the only thing that matters. That past moment doesn't even matter. The future hasn't even gotten here. That your power, everybody's power, lies right here in now, in every now moment.
Right. And that's actually, amen. And that's, so think about it, Caroline, think about how many people, you know, and I did this too with my ex, is like, we make decisions on even a partner of who we're with,
right,
because of the past, because of what we experienced as a child, or we did, or the lack that we had as a child. And so we choose this, and then we continue this pattern of chaos and of, you know, unworthiness or whatever it is, because we're still living in the past. Exactly. And we're not living in the now. And so many, I see that with so many people, and I go, well, we're married and we have kids, so now we got to stay together, or whatever it is, you know, and then if they divorce, they beat themselves up because I'll never be able to find anybody. I'll be by myself forever. And fine, if you want to be by yourself, be by yourself. But if you want to find a mate, why not forgive the past,
right,
and allow yourself? That's when I divorced my ex, mm-hmm, and I allowed myself to work in and on me, and I allowed myself to enjoy being me and to know love. That's when I was ready to actually meet somebody else, because I could share that love with somebody. But I wasn't coming from a lack of like, oh, I need somebody to feel complete.
And that is so true for what you're saying. I have been single for at least 21 years. I mean, my husband and I, we were married 8 years. I got married at 17. I think I shared that with you earlier. But and that only lasted 8 years. We grew apart. Then I had a longer relationship with my fiance. I had an off and on relationship with my fiance for 12 years, which was even longer than my marriage, which seemed more like a marriage than my marriage. Right. And thankfully we didn't get married, because that would be a second divorce. And one divorce is good enough. I always said I do not want to go through two divorces. So no, that was good. But I separated from my ex-fiance in 2000. So I have been single, and I have to say, I am the happiest I've ever been in my life. And I have been single for 20 years. Okay. I'm not saying that I don't even like the term Mr. Right. If I meet my life partner, the person I'm supposed to be with tomorrow, that would be great. So I'm not saying I don't want, but I'm going to love me.
Yeah.
I'm going to live my life to the fullest, because I know I am whole. I'm not a half a person looking for another half. Exactly. You know, I'm looking for my better half. No, you are a whole person. Exactly. And until you can love yourself, right, and enjoy your own company, that person that you really want to be with is not going to show up.
Right.
You've got to be whole. You've got to be complete. You've got to be filled of love. And that other person is just going to add to that, but not be the half you're missing.
Right.
You're not missing a half. You're not a half a person walking around because you're single.
You're more than enough. You are more than enough. And that's a beautiful knowing to have.
Yes.
Because if it ever happens where somebody decides to get into a relationship, that's where you know you're going to choose intentionally.
Yes.
And that's what's important. So many people will come from the perspective, I just don't want to be alone. And being alone is a beautiful gift.
It's a beautiful thing. It really is. You know what, though? My awakening came because I was alone.
Exactly.
Because I'm the type of person, if I'm in a relationship, I give so much to that person that I don't give to myself. And my entire awakening happened because I was alone, because I was still quiet and started to love myself. That's how I awakened. Yes.
Solitude is a beautiful
gift. It's a beautiful gift. It's a beautiful gift.
When more people are okay with that, I think that's part of our peace protocol, is people being okay with solitude.
Yes.
You know, we think, you know, like that's where I think like even social media has created this illusion of, you know, you can't be by yourself. You have to distract yourself constantly and get into people's lives and know what's going on. And no, you don't have to, but
yes, no, it's so true. And I share it all the time. I'm much, much happier now than when I was married. I was very young. And then when I was in a long-term relationship with my ex-fiance, I'm so much more happier. I'm so much more at peace. I love me. And I'm not saying, I say that to say, I'm not saying I would not want to have a relationship, but it has to be right. First of all, we have to, the spiritual knowing and the spiritual development has to be the same. Yeah, right. I could not be in a relationship with someone who was asleep. I couldn't be in a relationship with a sheeple. Yeah, right about that. And so far,
you sound like my husband.
And so far, I love our conversation because so far everything can go on YouTube. We know how YouTube censors, and we haven't talked about anything that YouTube will want to censor. So it's all good. It's all
yay.
Yes. 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 But yeah, no. It's I know that time. First of all, time is an illusion, so it doesn't matter when it happens. When a perfect divine timing. The right person will come into my life or not. And it's okay either way. I'm good.
Yeah. Is your daughter married or?
My daughter's engaged. She's, I live in the Poconos, which is Northeast Pennsylvania. And she's in New York, which I've never lived in New York. I'm not a city person, but she's engaged. She lives in New York with her fiance.
Oh, yes. Wow. So I was going to ask if you had grandkids yet, but
no. I do have my daughter who has never been married, has a son. My grandson is 11 years old and he'll be 12 in March. So my daughter did have a son out of wedlock, 11 and years ago. So I do have a grandson. That. Yes.
Wrong. I just assumed. Yes. See what happens when you assume you make an ass out of you and me.
No, it's fine. It's fine. My daughter is actually 41. She's not a baby. Oh, wow. Like I said, I got married young. I got married at 17. And I had my daughter when I was 19. And I had my son when I was 23. So I got married young. I had my kids young. So my son Kyle just had his 37th birthday just before Thanksgiving. Just a week ago or 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So do you mind me asking what happened to your son?
Well, he was born with a hole in his heart, which is common. They call it a heart murmur, but there was no worries about him when he was born. He was the healthiest child, never went to a doctor, played football, you couldn't hold this boy down. He was just all over. Awesome. So that when he was born, doctors said that, no worries. It'll close within a year or two, no worries. Okay. At his 1 year old checkup, it hadn't closed, but doctors still said, no worries. Had a 2 year old checkup, I think it still hadn't completely closed, but doctors said not to be concerned. And actually I'm glad no doctors ever told me to be concerned because I wouldn't have. I'm completely holistic. I've been completely holistic since 98. I don't believe in Western medicine at all. And I know my son's life, he lived it out the way he was supposed to live it out. He was extremely healthy from 0 to 26 years old. When he was 26, he was diagnosed with congestive heart failure and doctors did not know why. I knew why as a mom. I'm thinking that hole must have never actually closed completely. And if you have even like a microscopic hole in your heart and you get a cold, your heart could actually get infected and get weakened. So when he was 26, he was diagnosed with congestive heart and he didn't live the healthiest lifestyle. He smoked. I don't even know where he got that from, but and he didn't get from, you know, kids in high school smoked. Smoked. He did not eat healthy. His first job was at Wendy's and he ate like he went from a toothpick because he was naturally thin. He could eat whatever he wants, never put on a pound. He was tall and thin. But when he started and he lied about his age to get a job at Wendy's. He was 14, but because he was so tall, he lied and said he was 16. So he got this job at Wendy's and he would eat at Wendy's every day. And that's the only time he started to put on weight, when he was eating at Wendy's every day. So he started to put on weight really, really fast, but that's he helped him to play football because he was so big, you know, he was a big guy. So he lived a very, very healthy 26 years. The last 3 years of his life, he didn't die right when he got diagnosed, but he lived for 3 years longer. Actually, I have a story. Oh, I've got to show you this book. It's We Touched Heaven, because I actually, this is an award-winning book that just came out this year. I wrote a chapter in this book that tell you about my journey with him the year he was diagnosed, where they said he wasn't going to live, but he did live. He lived for 3 years longer. And that the chapter I wrote is Miracle on 34th Street. Wow. One of my favorite Christmas movies. But the reason I titled it Miracle on 34th Street, he was in, had to be medevaced to Philadelphia, and he was in the hospital that was on 34th Street in Philadelphia. Doctors told me he wasn't going to live, and I tried to kill myself. That was in December of 2011. He ended up pulling himself off life support, and we both went home. We went home on December 30th, the day before New Year's Eve in 2011, and I made a promise to God that day, the day I brought him home. I said, God, I don't care. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I will never, ever, ever stop thanking you for allowing me to bring my son home. I actually whispered in his ear. I said, Kyle, get better so we could both go home, because I was in the hospital because I had tried to kill myself. And I was on 24-hour suicide. Wow. But that day, they let me visit with him about an hour a day with supervised visit. I whispered in his ear. I said, Kyle, please get better so we can both go home. That night, he pulled himself off life support. It was a true medical miracle. He was completely fine. And 2 weeks later, we went home. So from that miracle, I said, God, I will never, ever, ever, and that was December 30th, 2011, I will never stop thanking you, and I've never broken that promise. Good. Even when he got ill again, 3 years later, got ill again, ended up back in the same hospital, and within 3 months, he transitioned from open heart surgery. They tried to do a bridge surgery, but the surgery went well, but there were complications. A week after the surgery, again, he ended up on life support. The last thing Kyle said to me physically was he was being wheeled into that surgery. And he said to me, Mom, I don't want you to wait alone. And what he meant was he knew, I never told him about my suicide attempt. He knew it instinctively. I never told him about it. And what he was worried about me. He's being wheeled into open heart surgery. He's worried about me waiting in the hospital waiting room, the surgery waiting room alone. And I ended up waiting. It was, 9-hour surgery, and I was completely alone. But at the moment he transitioned, I was at complete peace. I was at peace because I knew it was his soul's time to leave his body. I knew he was not going anywhere. I knew that it was a soul plan that he and I made. I was reading the book, Your Soul's Plan by Robert Schwartz, who was my first guest on this show back in 2015. Yes. Matter of fact, while Kyle was still on life support during the time he did pass, I was communicating with Robert Schwartz by email in the ER, in the ICU room with Kyle. I was telling Robert what I was going through, my son's on life support and all of that. But I truly was blessed with a medical miracle. Right. And from that medical miracle, I was able to be at peace when he actually did transition. Yeah. Right. And I explained. So that you can read all about it in detail. We Touched Heaven. Yes.
We Touched Heaven.
Yes, We Touched Heaven. Yes. So, but it's all good. It's all, and I'm going to make sure you have a copy of it. It's a 13-minute video where you can see, you can hear Kyle's voice from spirit, and you can see images of him. And all of those were gifted. Those were gifts from the guests I've had on my show over the last, I've been doing my show almost 7 years. And you were saying you're studying mediumship. Please look up Suzanne Giesman.
That's the class I'm taking.
Okay, then you're in the right spot. She is. I cannot say so. She gifted me my first mediumship reading I had with her. She was my guest on my show. She gifted me that reading on Kyle's birthday in 2016, which happened to be Thanksgiving Day. Kyle's birthday is November 24th. So sometimes his birthday is before Thanksgiving, sometimes it's after Thanksgiving, sometimes it's right on Thanksgiving. She gifted me a reading because Sanaya told her to. Sanaya said, you got to do this reading. What happened during that reading is how I got Kyle's voice on tape. And she didn't expect it. She was blown away by what happened. That is so I was cool. blown away by what happened.
Hey, my birthday is November 26th. So I get the whole almost Thanksgiving
thing. Yeah, you get because sometimes your birthday is right on. So this year, your birthday was the day after, right? Exactly. Yes. Kyle's birthday was the day before. Yes. So you're a Thanksgiving day. And Thanksgiving has always been my favorite holiday. So.
It's my favorite holiday yet because it's a time for us to reflect and show gratitude. You know, like so many people want to go like, oh, well, this happened and that happened. And these people were like abused or look, we still have a choice of what we're going to focus on now. Exactly. What do you choose to focus on in this moment? I am grateful. I have food. I am grateful. I have the capacity that my body can process that food.
Yes.
Can you imagine? And I don't have to be, you know, I don't have to be fed through a tube.
Right.
I can, and my body knows how to release whatever is not needed. Like there is so, in every single moment, there is so much to be grateful for when we allow ourselves to connect to that.
Exactly.
And so we can keep saying, oh, well, my ancestors were like this, or these people were murdered. And
right.
And to me, it's like, even Breast Cancer Awareness Month, like, you know, they say, you know, focus on Breast Cancer Awareness Month or raise awareness. But to me, it's like, wait a second, if you're focusing on breast cancer,
then you're creating more breast
cancer. You're creating more breast cancer. Exactly. So why not focus on healing. Why not make it a healing month? How can we all send more energetic healing light to one another? How can we enlighten one another rather than keep continuing talking about illness, sickness? Like right now, everybody's so focused on disease, sickness, you know, germs. Come on, dude. Like,
I laugh. I have been living on cloud nine since March 2020. Almost 2 years, the last 20 months, I have never been happier. And it's because I'm looking, I can see what's going on in the 3D realm, but I am living in 5D. I can see it. I can send love and light to it. But like you said, in every now moment, it's what you choose as a sovereign divine being of light, what you choose to focus on, because what you choose to focus on, you are creating.
Exactly.
So you can choose to focus on the negative, or you can choose to focus on all the wonderful blessings there is in every now moment. And there's so important.
So much. And it's a blessing to be on this call. It's so
great. Oh, thank you so much. So I've had the greatest time. I've been to California, let's see, twice in my life. I think twice. So I got to get to California.
Crazy family.
We'll have the best time.
Come to the crazy Casa Campbell.
Yes. So please, Monica, now share with our listeners how they can find you online. I know Jay has a presence, but however you want them to find you, let our listeners.
Well, that is a very good question. I am, like Jay keeps telling me, I've got to have some kind of a show or some kind of a YouTube presence. I don't have really much of a YouTube presence yet.
That's okay.
We're
at a new year. New year's coming up.
I wrote a book called Cracking the Fountain of Youth Code. And I do have monicacampbell.com, but you know, mainly people want to reach out to me, monica@monicacampbell.com.
Okay.
And then you can find me on YouTube, but there's a lot of Monica Campbells. So
So
I think it's like Monica Campbell.
You're going to send me the link and I'll have the link below this video.
Always solutions, right?
Yeah, there's a solution for everything. This has been so much fun. And I can't wait to get to the West Coast to hang out with you and Jay.
Yes.
That's going to be fun.
Yay. Come on down.
When they allow us to fly again. So.
Well, the drive would be pretty too.
Yes, it would be. Yes.
So they, I told him, yeah, always drive if we have to. And he's like, I'm not going to drive that far. I'm like, fine.
I would, you know what? I would love to rent an RV and just drive cross country. Really? Just stop, you know, stop at all the nice places. So yeah.
And you can even do calls from your RV too. Like yes. That would actually be fun to do.
That would be very fun to do. Exactly. Because now RVs are equipped with internet. Yeah. I could definitely live on the road. I mean,
I think that would be a fun thing to do, just to experience it, like, at least for maybe 6 months or something, just to see. You could always have a home base.
Of course. Yeah. Very true.
So come to Cali. Let us know.
I will. Well, wait a second, though. Do I want to come to California right now? You have news.
No, probably not.
I'll wait till the awakening happens more before.
But where we live is actually pretty chill. People aren't really hyper focus on masks or any of that stuff. Like, I know LA County is a lot different. We're in Riverside County, and over here it's a lot less constrictive.
Oh, well, that's great. Cause you know what though? I was in California this year, New Year's Day. I went to Huntington Beach to speak at a rally. Yes, I did. I flew into LAX and I stayed in Huntington Beach. And I noticed this was in January of 2021. There was hardly anybody wearing a mask in Huntington Beach.
Right. Yes. Orange County is different too.
Yes.
But once you get into LA County, it's completely different.
Okay.
You'll get these looks if you don't wear a mask, like somewhere they just look at you like you have this like bubonic plague or something.
Well, here's the thing I love to brag about. Every time I've been on a plane 5 times this year. Of course, on the plane itself, I've had to wear the mask. But in the airport, in all of the major airports, as soon as I'm off the plane, the mask comes off. I walk through that entire airport. Nobody says a word to me. And I'm just perfectly. LAX, I did it. Newark Airport, where I flew out of. Seattle Airport, Dallas Airport, every airport, Miami Airport. Trying to think of the 5 airports I was in. All of the airports I've been in. Inside the airport, they do not bother you. And I don't even get weird looks. I've never worn a mask unless I'm sitting on the plane. Right. Yeah, you know, I don't want to get kicked off the plane. But other than that, I've never worn a mask and I've never had a problem. But you know what? That's also vibration.
Yeah.
I surround myself with love and light,
right,
and people feel that.
Right.
And I got no problems not wearing a mask the last 20 months. I don't do the mask thing.
And it's interesting because you're so right when it comes to that, because every now and then you might run into somebody who's just like, who's the mask police. But when you are, and you do that intentionally, you surround yourself in love and light. And even with, like germs, like people are, if people are so germ phobic, they're going to get more germs.
Exactly. You attract what you're saying. You attract exactly what you're afraid of. So if you're afraid of something, you're bringing it closer to you. You're like, come to me, germs. Right.
Exactly. And people don't realize that. And so it's like, you can't fear everything in life.
There's no fear. See, here's the thing. That when you know who you are as a sovereign divine being of light, meaning you are God in a nutshell, you are God in a cell, meaning I love Rumi's quote, you are not a drop in the ocean, you are the entire ocean in a drop. Each one of us is all of God, not a piece of God, but each one of us is all of God in a drop. And when you know that light breathing, what is there to fear? What does God have to fear?
Exactly.
When you understand that, yes.
And it's such a beautiful journey.
Yes.
Get to know yourself, to get to like yourself, to get to enjoy.
Love yourself.
Right. Imagine going through this whole life hating who you are. Mm-hmm. And that's where so many people and you can see it in people's demeanor, in their posture, how they speak. You can tell when somebody doesn't like themselves.
Exactly.
And it's a you know, and that's when I see someone like that, I just send them love, and I'll do
love
that.
And light.
I do that continuously because yes. like, and then treat them with kindness too,
yes.
because sometimes those people, they're just going through their own inner battle. And yes. our job is not to sit here and judge and condemn people. Our
exactly.
job, like I keep telling Jay, like, you know, sometimes I feel like our lesson is compassion and empathy. Like, instead of looking at that person and being like, why are they like this? You know, like all these people, you know, they're experiencing life in this way. That's part of their journey.
Part of their journey. And all we, by us showing them kindness and love and sending them love and light and healing, send them love, light and healing and showing them kindness, we are doing so much for that soul to help that soul realize. Because in truth, when anybody treats us badly, like say your family that are blaming you for your mom's passing, and my cousin who said something terrible to me after my son's passing, they're in pain.
Yeah.
They're, you know, it's not us. They're mm-hmm. just projecting their pain out on us. So we send them love and light to help them heal from yeah. their own inner pain. So yeah. yes, we have to remember who we are and always walk in every now and moment in that knowing of mm-hmm. who we are.
Yes. So,
very, very
true. That one.
This has been great.
Yeah. I want to just pause for a second,
sure,
and I want to
sure.
just send you love and light because you're an amazing being, and I am so fortunate to be basking in your energy field. Thank you.
Thank you. That is so sweet. Thank you. Love you so much. Give
love
Jay
you.
A big hug and kiss for me.
I will. I'll make it a wet smooch.
Very good. Thank you so much. We're definitely going to stay in touch, of course. And definitely, I'm going to get to California again.
Come on down.
I'm going to have some fun with you guys. I can see that.
Yes. Come on down. You can meet our whole crew.
Awesome.
Our dogs are funny. We have like a... we have like a little hyper old dog, and then we have this like depressed pit bull.
Okay. That's going to be fun. That's fun. Well, thank you so much. This has been wonderful.
Yes, thank you.
Definitely. We're going to be in touch. Thank you.
Okay.
Love you.